John chapter 14. I want to talk to you about, hast thou not known me? How sad of a question it was for the Lord Jesus Christ to have to ask his disciples who had been traveling with him for 3 to 3.5 years. And he said that, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. No man has ever seen the Father, but we have seen Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is God, and he is we visualize God through Jesus Christ. Everything he said was God said. Everything he did, he said was my power, was through God Almighty. And so Jesus Christ is the, what we call the incarnation. You know, we like chili. You ever heard of chili con carne? That means chili with meat. Amen. Chili is just beans and onions and peppers and all that. But boy, you put a little con carne. I like a lot of carne in mine, a lot of meat in mine. Amen. And the Bible says that he was incarnate. He was, came in the flesh. He was God that put on flesh. You say, explain it. Can't. One man said, if you try to explain the Trinity, you go insane. If you disbelieve the Trinity, you go to hell. So it's kind of interesting, some things that we think of. But anyway, the Lord Jesus Christ had walked with the disciples 3 and 3.5 years. And listen to Jesus as he questions Philip. He says, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? That's quite a scathing square. It's kind of like, hey, don't you know who I am? Don't you? Hey, I'm your dad. Don't you? What's wrong with you? You know I'm going to take care of you. You know I'm going to try to do everything I can to make your life a little easier. And all of us dads, we always try to make it a little easier for our kids than what we had at Amen. Sometimes we make it too easy, and then they... But anyway, I'll leave that one alone for later. Amen. So he said, why? He said, so long time. For more than 3 years, day in, day out, Jesus had been with them. Think of the incredible things that the Lord Jesus Christ did in the presence of those disciples. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He did the impossible things that, which no one could have even done unless it was of God. These disciples had full opportunity to learn about the character of God and to see the mission of God and an instruction to the ministry. And as every time Jesus spoke, he was speaking the Word of God. He was speaking God's Word, performing so many miracles. In fact, John chapter 21, verse 25, you look at that in your Bible. That might be a great Bible verse to underline or to circle. John chapter 21, verse 25, the Bible says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So the powerful thing that these men saw, the powerful thing. Yeah, we're around different people, and we see their character. We see their actions. Some of us work around the church here, and we may have a work day or something. You see how guys work. You see who they are. You might go out to shooting with them. You may go out and riding with them. You might be doing something. You see their character. And you begin to know them. That's what makes a great church is when we work together. And I remember when we were building the inside of this building, and we were here practically every day, it seemed like. And man, everybody knew everybody. We knew their heartaches. We knew their sorrows. We knew what made them happy, and we knew the button to push to make them mad. Amen. That was a fun one. Amen. They were with Christ. But yet he says, show us the Father. We don't know who you are. And I'm sure the Lord said in the Greek, are you kidding me? But anyway. For so long time, doesn't that sound like something very familiar to the situation with the saints after the Lord who went to heaven? You remember the Lord went into heaven? And the angel said, why stand ye gazing up here? The same Christ is going to come back again. And right after that, the people just seemed like they didn't know who Christ was. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews wrote in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Hebrews 5:12. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye had need to be one to teach you again, which be the first principles of oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. All you want to do is just feed on a bottle. What's wrong with you? You want to get the meat of the Word of God, but he says, it seems like you've just turned away, and you don't get it anymore, and it just seems like that all you want to do is be a nurse by a bottle. That's all you want. You don't want to find the deeper things of the Word of God. Yeah, so, time of Jesus Christ, he says, how long have I been so long with you? And then Hebrews says, hey, you know it once, but now you ain't getting it. Boy, you know, that's quite an indictment on us Christians. God puts this indictment on us and says, hey, you want to know what the Bible says? I was quoting this morning in Sunday school, Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Yesterday, 2 days ago, I was coming back from fishing with my brother-in-law and Ted and his friends, and we'd been gone all day, and we're unloading all the stuff out of the trailer and unloading the fish and getting ready to clean them, and I heard my wife in the kitchen window just going crazy. She just hollered, and I thought, good night, what's going on with her? You know, what's wrong? And all of a sudden, she's out there going like that. Hey, that's my husband! She said that to my wife. I mean, to my sister. She said, that's my husband! She got so excited. You know what? She's delighted to see me. By the way, I'm delighted to see her, too. She came in, gave me a couple kisses, and then gave me another kiss. Double back flip. My goodness. Yeah, baby. We've been through a lot in the last 4 years. And for her to do that, some of you don't know, she wasn't resuscitated for 14, 20 minutes. It's unheard of. She's called the miracle girl of deaconess or benefits. And she's like a little four-year-old now, but she delights. God's Word, and the Bible says we ought to delight in the Word of God. And many times we don't delight in it, and we don't get our food from the Word of God, and so we just kind of go down, 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 down. We become anemic. And that's a real battle we have. We want to be very careful. Well, Christ says to Philip, he that has seen me and seen my work and heard my doctrine and they understand my character, if you would have given proper attention to the proof that I have afforded you, you would, without a doubt, believe that I am God. And what does he say? John chapter 3, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son and giveth all things into his hand. John chapter 6, verse 46. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. John 10, verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Scripture teaches us that God, Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh, showing who God was, is the one who spoke this magnificent world into existence. God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. And God said, let there be light. That's an incredible thing. So on the first day God made the universe, He made water, because the Bible said the world was full of water, and He made light. Second day, God made the firmament. That's that bubble of water that's above the world. Third day, God made the grass and the trees and the fruit after His kind. I don't understand that. The Bible said the fruit was after His kind. So every time you bite an apple, it's a boy apple, amen. Isn't that great? After His kind. I understand it. But that's what the Bible said. I'm going to believe it, amen. So I'll just say to that apple, come here, boy. But anyway, so He separated land from the water. Well, that's important. What if you don't have trees and grass? You don't have oxygen to breathe. Fourth day, God put the planets in order and the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. I'm glad about that. Man, I was off the farm the other day and it was dark. And the yard light wasn't on. And I looked up there, and that old Big Dipper was all the way down. Mike said, it's going to rain. I said, what's that? He said, the Dipper's dipped down, man. It's going to rain. That's what it was doing yesterday. Raining when we leave it. Amen. I don't believe it. But anyway, God said all those things. On the fifth day, God says, let the water multiply with great fishes. Abundantly. I love that. Man, I was out there and said, God, I'm just trying to catch some of those abundant fish you said you made, amen. Huh? Abundantly, He said. And then He made all the birds of the air. I was sitting in an ice shanty the other day. I'm not kidding you. They ain't a lie. I ain't lying you. And I heard, and I thought somebody was in their little Volkswagen driving around the water. I mean, around the lake. And then all I heard here there are swans. Gobs of these beautiful white swans flying over. I got so excited I didn't even take a picture of them. God made on the fifth day those swans. And the ducks. And the geese. And all those wonderful things. Even the chickens, amen. Boy, I'm glad for that day. Anybody, you know what a belt is, don't you? A belt is a cemetery fence around the chickens that he ate, preacher. Oh, amen. So, you know, He made all those magnificent things on the fifth day. On the sixth day, God made all the animals. And the creeping things. Must have been a pretty creepy day that day, amen. Made all the creeping things. All the things that breathe air. And then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And God formed out of the dust of the ground. Not dirt. Out of the dust. I used to call my dad said, man, look at this dirt. My dad said, in dirt and soil. Dirt, something to get on your face. Our son, he was a farmer, but anyway. And God formed man. And the Bible said, and the Spirit of God breathed into man, he became a living soul. And then he said, it's not good for man to live alone. I'm going to make him a helpmeet, a completer. That's why you ladies, you can go on with life. Even if your husband is gone, you can still live by yourself. Us guys, we can't do it. We need a woman. We need a helpmeet. Amen. Somebody come alongside. Amen. And the Bible said, He said, He took old Adam, laid him down, put some anesthesiologist. The anesthesiologist walked up there and put him to sleep. First operation, took up a rib. He made man, made woman. Did you ever wonder why Adam called Eve woman? When he woke up out of his sleep and saw her, he said, whoa, man! You know, if you read this Bible, God is really, He's got some funny stuff in it, amen? Huh? Yeah. That was a God. This is Jesus who spoke everything into existence. He's the one who came to this world, and the world is a chaos, and He comes for 33 years and lives on this earth. And He healed people and did so many wonderful acts to prove that this is God. Yet mankind says, crucify Him. Crucify Him. Crucify Him. Kill Him. We're a fickle people, aren't we? If it doesn't go our way, it's no way. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God never intended man to be in the dark concerning his spiritual condition. God said, I would that none would perish, that all would come to everlasting life. You see, Jesus is not only Savior, but He is the Christ, or may I say the King. He's the most holy sovereign. He is the head. He is the ruler. He is the potentate. He is in control of all things. He is for the good of His church and for the good of the government and the universe. And He is the mediator to redeem His people and to guide them to glory. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20 says, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and sat Him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. And Jesus says to Him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? Christ had been thought, surely you cannot be that ignorant, Philip. I mean, He's right there. He's in touching distance of the Christ. You've seen Me. You've seen Me with my eye, your eyes. You've seen Me as a man. You have, must know that I am God. No man can do these miracles. You must know that I am God. By doctrine I have taught you, and the miracles that I have done among you. And he that has seen Me, he was not talking about seeing with his physical eyes. He was talking about the spiritual eyes. They had seen the perfection of the Godhead in Jesus Christ. He says, you've seen Me. You've seen the Father. The perfection which was also for the same that are in Me are in Him. And the same that are in Him are in Me, Jesus said. I am the very image of Him. I possess the same nature. I possess the same attributes and glory that is in Him, so that he that seeth one sees the other. So when you saw Christ, you saw God. You say, I can't understand it. I can't either. I'm a mortal. I don't have much brains. But I need God. And I need a Savior. I have no hope in this world without Christ. Such a request is needless one when he says, how sayest thou, show us the Father? And Jesus, really, such a request was needless one. It betrayed their great weakness and their ignorance. Have I been so long with you that ye have not known Me? He that seeth Me hath seen the Father. Words that Christ spoke could not have been more clear than these words: "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." You're going to find there's a lot of religions today. I said religions out there today that do not say that Jesus Christ is God. Some of them say, well, Jesus Christ had some brothers. One of his brothers was Satan. Can you imagine what God must think of someone who says that Christ, the Christ, is not God Almighty? And what did he say? My only begotten Son. Why don't you read the Bible before you get into religion? Could it be that, as the Bible says, you better be careful because Satan comes as an angel of light to destroy the good of God, destroy the things of God? The Apostle Paul, he was so wanted to know him. He said, "Oh, that I may know him." Job said the same thing. "Oh, if I just know him." I beg today, will you pray with me? "Oh God, that I just know you. If I could just know you better. If I could just have just a crumb off the table of knowing you. Oh, that I may know him." Know him means to perceive and to understand and to learn and to come to know and get the knowledge of and the feel and understand, perceive, and have knowledge. To have understanding. And I love this most. To get acquainted. To get acquainted. There's nothing like getting acquainted with people. Some people you find out that you don't want to be too acquainted with them. After a while you say, "Yeah, well, hey, hope you have a good life. See you later, amen. I don't want to be around that. That may cause me to stumble, cause me to fall. I don't want to get in that kind of, you know." You may think that she's really pretty, and you start getting acquainted with her and find out that the pretty is on the outside, not on the inside. Hello. Or you may find a guy that, "Oh, he's tall, dark, and handsome. Like Joe Mark." None of the above. Hope he listens to this sermon. And boy, you just think, "Man, he's the guy." I met my wife, Marcia. She was in high school, and I was a college football player, and I met her for the first time, and she said to her sister, "I'm going to marry that guy." Only met me once. Hey, what can I say? Well, we got acquainted. 2 years of it. Going to college together. And today I say, how in the world can a little old farm boy from Hope, Michigan, go out to Minnesota and play some football and find the most beautiful girl in the world to marry? And I will tell you something, she's beautiful on the inside as well as the outside. I want none other. I'm blessed. There's some people who just don't take acquainted. Shame on you people who don't get acquainted with that person before you get them married. You may get something you don't want. Some of the in-laws. But anyway. Oh, that I may know him. Much you can do about them, can you? Amen. Oh, that I may know him. I hope that's your prayer today. I hope that's your prayer today that, oh, I know him. Oh, I could just get to know him. Has thou not known me? Get to know me. What's the old saying? To know them is to love them. I'll tell you what. The closer and the closer and the closer and the closer you get to God Almighty, the more you love him. How did God Almighty crushed him and killed him on the cross? because of our sins. Shows the hatred of God towards our sins. And Jesus faithfully went to the cross so that you could get saved. And not only get saved, but you would live for Him. I pray today that God would get a hold of your heart. And you would say, oh, that I may know Him. I don't want to get to heaven. And Jesus says, that's not know me. I want to know Him. And how can I get to know Him? I read my Bible every day. When I read the Bible, God's talking to me. When I'm praying, I'm talking to God. The more you get to know Him, the more you love Him. The more you find out about Him. The great things that He has done. Father, I pray You'd help us today. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the promises of the Word of God. So many times we take things for granted. So many times we go about things in our lives that just don't understand. We have a God that loves us and cares for us. A God who really wants to do everything He can for us. But we fail to get to know Him. We fail to know what He's got for us. Dear God, I pray You'd help us today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one look around. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Are you here today? Do you know Him? Has there been a time and a place in your life that you said, God, I know that I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, I realize I deserve death and hell. But Lord, I heard You died for me. And I heard that God Almighty loved me so much that You'd go to that old cross for me. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And Father, I pray that You'd forgive me of all my sins, and I pray You'd cleanse me of my sins and come into my heart. Have you done that today? Do you know Him? Has there been a time in your life you've accepted Christ as Savior? Has there been a time? If there hasn't, you need to do it. Don't let another day go by without knowing Jesus. Jesus said, today is the day of salvation. Today, not tomorrow. Today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you all to stand here. Stand in your seat there. Just stand up. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd like to know that. If you'd like to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to ask you to step out of that seat, walk down the aisle. I'll take you by the hand. I'll show you from God's Word. I'm not here to make you a Baptist. You find that out real quick. I'm not here to make you a Baptist. I'm not really into this religious baloney. But I am in this thing of Jesus Christ. I want to be a biblicist. That's the Word of God. And I take it as the truth. But you're here today and say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I would go to heaven when I die. I've always wondered about it. I questioned about that. Why not today? Christian praying. Why don't you today say, dear God, just pray this prayer. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that You died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. Right here. Would you do that today? Just pray this prayer. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me all my sins. I believe You died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and my life. If you're here today, and I promise you, I've asked people to close their eyes. But if you're here today and you say, preacher, today I ask Jesus in my heart, would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. I will not point you out. I will not do that. That's not my style. But I want to help you. I want to be a blessing to you. Say, preacher, today I pray and ask Jesus in my heart. I'm going to have the pianist play. If you're here today and you're not saved, or you pray that prayer, I'm going to ask you to step out of that seat, walk down, and I'll take me by the hand and say, preacher, today I did that. Why don't you come right now? You're here today and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. Down in the water, up out of the water. I have not done that, and I want to do that. Why don't you come? Since I've been saved, I've not done that. You're here today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. You know, God loved the church so much that He had His only begotten Son die for it. And Jesus Christ loved the church and bought the church with His own blood. You should be a member someplace, somewhere, to do what God wants you to do. You hear today and say, "Preacher, we'd like to do that. Why don't you come?" You hear today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come?" Or, "Preacher, today I prayed, invite Christ to be my Savior. Why don't you come?" "Preacher, I want to follow the Lord and believe in baptism. Why don't you come?" Or, "Want to join the church?" Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for loving us, and we thank You for the privilege that we have to come to church. We thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for those who went before us. We thank You for people like Philip that had some questions going on, and the Lord dealt with it, and we were educated by it. We are shown by it that we should want to know who this Christ is. Oh God, help us. Help us, Lord, to live more like You. Help us delight in the law of the Word of God. Help us to serve You in a great way. Lord, bring us back tonight. Thank You for loving us and caring for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.